preach right there. Being under the blood, I can't. That's a blessing right there. That is a blessing. Get this microphone all set up. I got it all fell up. I was too big for it and myself in the chair, and it fell off, so I got to get it fixed there. All right, if you will, take the Bible and turn to 2 Timothy. Take the Bible and turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to start, and we're going to read a couple of different parts of the chapter, but tonight we're going to talk about five qualities of a good soldier. I've never been in the military, but I'm glad to be a soldier of Jesus Christ and a Christian. So we're going to talk about five qualities of being a good soldier. And while you turn there, we're going to talk about when Paul was in his later days, in his last days in his life, he was in prison, and he was thinking about being a good soldier, and he wanted to be the best soldier he could for Jesus Christ, and he started writing out letters. He was writing to Timothy, and he was telling Timothy, look, you need to follow these rules. You need to obey God. You need to do this. You need to do this to be a good soldier. And tonight we're going to look at the five qualities. If you got your place there, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth and entangleth himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a good soldier. Now turn over to chapter 4. We'll go to verse 7 in chapter 4. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, amen, the righteousness judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me alone, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's pray. Dear and Father, just thank you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I just pray, Lord, you'd hide me behind the cross, Lord. And Lord, I'm nothing but a vessel to be used by you, Lord. We just pray, Lord, we can all be good soldiers. Lord, I just pray, Lord, this message will encourage people to be a better soldier. Encourage myself, Lord, to be a better soldier. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray, Lord, you be with us as we hear the word of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to study the five things. First off, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to be a follower of Christ. When you join the military, you got to do something to be enlisted. I tried to join the military, and they told me I had two things going against me at that time. This was right after Iraqi freedom. I was too fat, and I said, well, all right, bigger target to shoot at. I can see that, and I done had back surgery. I said, all right, y'all won't let me go because I'm hurt. So I told that guy right there, and the draft sergeant, well, not really a draft sergeant, but the recruiter, I said, you won't let me go when I'm willing to go, so let me go in and sign a piece of paper that I'm not going when you ask me to go. So, but we had to be a good soldier, we need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We do that by just the same as you would fill out the paperwork to be drafted, to be accepted into the military, to be a Christian soldier, we have to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We got to be accepted in. We got to accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We can read that in Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved, and we can be in the a soldier of Jesus Christ. We can't be a soldier of Christ if we're not following Him. I think about this story. I've used this in another sermon at the nursing home, but I read a story that Charles Spurgeon wrote one time, and he was talking about the soldiers over there when Napoleon Boulevard, I can't say his name real good, but Napoleon was over there in France, whatever you want to call it, and they had Napoleon on their heart. They had the French Empire on their heart, and he was telling a story about one time that one of them got shot in the chest, and while the surgeon was sitting there digging that small bullet out of that soldier's chest, the soldier said, you dig deep enough, you'll come to the emperor. You dig deep enough, you'll come to the emperor. I wonder if we got that same thing on our heart. Someone digs deep enough in our life, are they going to come to Jesus Christ? If someone digs deep enough, you can have the desires of a man on your heart. If someone digs deep enough in your life, will they come to Jesus Christ? Will they see that you are a true soldier for Jesus Christ, that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? So to be a good soldier, we need to be a follower. That implies rank. We're always, in the military, we know there's all different kind of ranks. There's always somebody outranking you. Always. Same as a Christian soldier. When we're ranked, and there's always someone outranking you. His name is Jesus Christ. He outranks us. We are never, sometimes people think that they can do everything by themselves, but they can't do nothing without Him. Nothing. So So he outranks us. So when it implies a ranking to be a Christian soldier, knowing that we're nothing without him. He's our commander. We need to follow him. There's always someone higher. Like I said, Jesus Christ is we're responsible for following him and his will in our lives. We should follow his will. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, we were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You were bought with a price. Jesus Christ died for you, so to be a good soldier for him, glorify him with your body. That's sometimes hard to do, I understand, but glorifying God with your body. Surrender things that you normally wouldn't surrender. Do things for Christ. Witness to somebody. Give out a gospel tract. Do something for Christ. He died for you. You know, Jesus Christ asked one thing. I think about this plenty of time. When he come back from the dead, when he came from that grave, Mary Magdalene came to him. You know what he asked him? He said, hey, this is me. He proved it was Jesus. But then he said, go and tell. Glorify God. Go and tell. Think about the brother going to California. Go and tell. Missionaries all around the world, they're going to tell. Right here in South Bay, Mississippi. Go and tell. Be a good soldier. Go and tell. Be a follower of Jesus Christ. He told, go and tell. It implies a rule. To refuse to follow orders is a treason in the military. When you're in the Lord's army, we have the obligation of obeying his orders, even unto the death. Notice the call of Christ that has not changed. In Matthew 16, 24, we must deny ourselves. We must deny ourselves and follow him. We should pick up our cross daily and follow him. Get yourself out the way. Get yourself out the way. I told this story too at a nursing home one time, but I've read a story about, whoever heard of Elizabeth Elliot, Jim Elliot, we've heard that. There was five souls. We don't ever hear about the five missionaries that went. Most of the time we hear about Jim or Elizabeth Elliot. There was five soldiers that went. And I read an article about one that, his name was Nate Saint. Anybody ever heard of Nate Saint? He was one of the five that died on that sandbar that day. Well, there was this journalist that wanted to know more about Nate Saint. And he sat there and said, I got to go down to Ecuador. I got to get a pilot. I want to fly over that sandbar where Nate Saint gave his life. And he did. He went down there, and this so happened, by the Lord's will, he ran into a pilot that was friends, that went to college with Nate Saint. And he was telling him the whole story. He was writing a journal about Nate Saint and a big old thing, story about him. He said, would you fly me over there? He said, I'd be more than happy to fly you over there when Nate Saint died. And they were flying across the sandbar, and that journalist got all excited. Hey, right there is the place where Nate Saint died. Right there is the place where Nate Saint died. The pilot sitting there flying said, no, that's not where Nate Saint died. He looked at his map, looked at everything. He said, what? It says it's right there. Will you do me a favor and turn around and come back? Come over one more time. The pilot turned around. And sure enough, they flying back over, and he's looking at his map and all his longitude and longitude or whatever you want to call it. Brother Mike knows all about that. But he's looking at it, and he's like, that's the place right there. That's the sandbar where Nate Saint died. And the other four, they died right there that day on that sandbar, giving the life of Christ. The pilot said, no, that's not where Nate Saint died. By this time, that journalist didn't know really what to do. He said, come back in one more time. Go treetop level high. I got to see it. And they flying across treetop level high. And he's looking. And he said, sir, I'm telling you, that's the place. That's where the village was. This is the sandbar. That's the river. This is where Nate Saint died. By this time, that pilot had tears running down his eyes. He said, no, sir, that's not where Nate Saint died. Journalist looking, what? He said, let me tell you when Nate Saint died. He said, I was in college with Nate Saint. He said, one day, we were sitting there. Nate Saint came in his old jolly old cell. He said, there's a revival meeting right down the road. Let's go to that revival meeting. That pilot said that was the last thing on his mind, going to that pilot meeting that night. I mean, a revival meeting, last thing on his mind. He said, but Nate Saint pretty much persuaded him to go. They go down there, and the preacher was kind of like me, this wasn't about nothing, but he preached the word of God. And while he was preaching, he preached on dying to self and living for Christ. He said, and at the time, he gave an altar call. He said, Nate Saint was sitting right beside him when the preacher had done the invitation. They were sitting there praying. He felt Nate Saint get up pretty much. And he heard somebody old-timing altar. He said, he looked, He said, Nate Saint was sitting up there. He got curious. He opened his eyes. He didn't listen to the preacher. Everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. He got curious. He looked up there, and Nate Saint was sitting up there, tears flowing down his eyes. He said, that's when Nate Saint died. He died to himself that day. He died that day on that altar to himself, and he started living for Christ. That's what I'm talking about right there. We're going to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. This old boy right here wasn't nothing until I denied myself, and I surrendered to that call. I surrendered that call to go. I denied myself. And that's what the Bible's telling us, deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. Take up that cross daily and follow Jesus Christ. So first, we're going to be a good soldier for Jesus. We've got to be a follower. Second, if we're going to be a good soldier for Jesus, we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful. So we need to be a follower and we need to be faithful. Number A, his patience. Look at that verse there in verses 2, 3, and 4. He says, he endures hardness. He endures hardness. And the good soldier realizes that there will be troubles along the way and is not detoured by them. There's going to be troubles in your life. Don't be detoured by them. The good soldier knows that. He understands the pain is often part of the Christian experience. I'm going to turn to John. You ain't got to turn there with me, but I'm going to turn to John and read a scripture, portion of scripture there. John 10. 3-5, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep heareth his voice. I'm reading the wrong scripture. Hold on. Y'all give me this a second. We got to be faithful. John 16:33. I got too much scripture tonight. 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus is telling us there's going to be tribulation if we're going to be a soldier for him. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be times when we don't know how we're going to get through it. There's going to be times when the world's going to come over. But guess what? We got a God in heaven that has overcome the world. Jesus Christ overcome the world. He died on that cross that day to overcome it. So be a good soldier. Be faithful. Please remember that a Christian is called upon to face life with extreme patience. In Hebrews 12:1, we must run the race set before us with patience. We must run the race set before us in patience. It's the last part of Hebrews 12:1. B, he's got his priorities right. Seeks to please the commander. If you're in the military, the lowest rank is always trying to please the higher rank. Always trying to please the higher rank. It's the same in our Christian life. We should be trying to please the commander, Jesus Christ. We should be trying to please the one that sent us. We should do everything we can for him. We should do everything we can to get honor. When we read chapter 4 a minute ago, he said, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. He was sitting there doing the pleasing. Paul wanted to please Jesus. Nothing to himself. He wanted to please Jesus. So we should know that we should do everything we should to please the commander, not of ourselves. Notice that the good soldier has no higher goal in his life than pleasing his superior. The good soldier knows that anything which interferes with his performance in the military must be done away with. The good soldier, he knows that anything interferes with his... My little sister, when she went to basic training, she had to do away with a bunch of different things. And I got to hear that from her, and she and different soldiers I've talked to, they couldn't speak to their families while in basic training. They couldn't do this. They had to get the things that interfered with them being a good soldier. As a Christian soldier, the things that interfere with us being a good soldier. What do you mean by that? Well, Brother Brian, I got to watch my TV show at 8:30 at night. I'm gonna watch that certain show. I put off reading my Bible maybe to tomorrow. You know what? That show comes on tomorrow night. Something's interfering with you being a good soldier. You put in different things. Brother Brian, Saturday morning, 9:00. I know y'all got soul winning, but I got something else to do that day. That's interfering with you being a good soldier. You letting other things get in your way. You're not being pleasing. You're not surrendering. You're not listening to that command that Jesus gives us there. So don't let anything interfere with you being a good soldier. I look at what is laid on your heart the most. What do you think about the most in your life? Do you think about the things of God? Do you think about pleasing God? Or you Are you thinking about other things? Let me tell you, whatever's on your heart and on your mind the most, that's your God. That's your God. Because you're not, if you're sitting there thinking all the time about the things that's going to happen that day, and not sitting there thinking about the one that saved you by His grace, you're not sitting there thinking about the one that saved you by His blood, dying on that cross of Calvary for you. Nothing else in the world is to any importance to this old boy right here. Shouldn't be to none of us. He died for us. So what's on your heart? What's on your mind? If you sit there and think about that today, what's on my, what today when you're sitting around work or whatever, what were you thinking about? What was on your heart? What was on your mind? I don't want to call it a God, but I call it an idol. An idol. So we should be faithful. He has his priorities right, and let it be. He seeks to please the commander. I read that one already, my bad. I think. Yep. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 10:31. Well, 10:31. Whatever therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to glorify the glory of God. Whatever you eat or drink, do all to glorify of God. So if we're going to be a good soldier of Christ, we need to do all to glorify God, not ourselves. All to glorify God, not just some, not just some. In the book of James, it talks about being a half, given a double-minded, double-souled. Some people want to say, Brother Brian, I do everything for God, but I'm not giving up this. God can have all part of everything in my life, but this part of my life. Do everything to glorify God. Don't give Him this half. Give Him all of it when you're following God. And letter B is His practice. Letter C, my bad. Letter C is His practice. He guards the truth of the faith. The good soldier takes care of the things delivered unto him. He is determined to do a good job and refuses to do anything to bring disgrace and dishonor to his superior. He refuses to do anything. Same as to be as a Christian soldier. If we're going to be a Christian soldier, we need to be not doing anything that brings dishonor or disgrace to God. Don't. If we're going to be a Christian soldier, when we're out in the world, we should act the same in this church house as we do out there. We should act the same. Don't do anything that dishonors God. He's our superior. He's the one that saved us. Why would we want to dishonor Him? I mean, when you sit there and you think about dishonoring a man that loved you so much that He hung on a cross and died for you, He could have called 10,000 angels and been off that cross that fast. But He didn't, because He loved you. But you don't love Him enough to not dishonor Him, not to serve Him. So look at His practice, and He is determined to do good. Like I said in Philippians 1:27, we should all be striving together for the faith of the gospel. What I'm saying, that we should all together be, if we're going to be in an army and be a soldier, this should be an army right here for God. I'm looking around, hey, soldiers for Christ. We should be all striving together. We should all be looking for the same cause to get the gospel out, to get people out. So if we're going to be a Christian soldier, He wants us to live like in a manner that brings honor to the Lord and not dishonor. We need to keep the faith. Number three, He is familiar. He is familiar. There are some things that a good soldier knows He's familiar with. With the sound of the commander's voice. Now I'm going to turn to John 10. 3-5. I already read that, I think, but it don't matter. To him that pondereth open and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not his voice, the stranger. So we're going to be a good... We got to be familiar with the voice of God. We got to be familiar when God talks to us. We know it's Him. The easiest way to get more familiar with the Lord's voice is right here. Open it. 66 chapters right there of God talking to you. 2 Timothy 3:16. the scripture is the inspired word of God. Amen. Sit there and open it. That's the closest way, the easiest, but the best way of knowing when God speaks to you. If you do this by getting in the word, with the skill of using his weapons. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Talking about the whole armor of God. He's familiar with the weapons of God. A good soldier knows the weapons. A good soldier knows that he is engaged in a mortal warfare, and he knows that the only way to succeed in the fight is to be skilled in the use of spiritual weaponry. You and I would do well to learn the art of spiritual warfare. I'm getting dry now. Spiritual warfare. If we intend to succeed for the glory of the Lord, see with the strategy of the enemy. With the strategy of the enemy. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He knows, a good soldier knows the strategy of the enemy. When you're sitting there and you're watching our military, they know, they strategizing things. A good soldier knows the strategy of the enemy. We know the devil is nothing but a roaring lion coming after you. He's seeking to devour us. And we know he's always on the prowl, always looking. But we know his strategy. We know what kind of stuff he's going to look for, and we need to stand against that. We need to know that he ain't going to be winning. Sometimes when he does trap us, we got a nice, lovely word of God in Hebrews 13:5. At the end, he says, he will never leave us or forsake us. God will never leave us or forsake us. When we're sitting there, and sometimes Satan strategizes against us and we didn't see it, and we get caught by it, we got a good promise from God right there. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's always right there with us. He'd always get us out of it somehow. It might be in his time. But the good soldier studies the methods of the enemy and learn his weaknesses to the fullest extent of his ability. The good Christian soldier needs to be wise to the ways of the devil, and he needs to know that the Lord Jesus is greater than any enemy he will ever face. In 1 John 4:4, because greater is that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater that is it with you, that is in you, is greater than he is in the world. D, with the shadows of his friends. Hebrews 11:25. Let me read that verse real quick. That's a good verse. Choosing rather to suffer affliction from the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So we look at the shadows of the friends. The good soldier not only cares about his own welfare, but he cares about the welfare of those around him. He cares about the fellow soldiers. He's not going to leave one behind. He's going to be sitting there ready to pick them back up when they fall. He's going to be sitting there ready to give them the word of God when they fall. I think about that. Choosing rather to suffer affliction from the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Sitting there willing to suffer with the believers around them to get caught up in the sin in this world. That right there to me is an encouragement. Galatians 6:2, bury ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bury ye one another's burdens. He learns about them by being around them. There's a need for the soldiers of the Lord to train together. We should all be training together sitting here today. We should all be encouraging one another. We should be sitting there, and I thank God that we got a pastor here that does that. He sits there and encourages us to train together and all gets us to strive together. And I thank God for that. And number four, he is a fighter. And I'm not talking about a brawler. Some of these teenager boys, like Brother Brian, saying, I can go fight right now. They saying, I'll tell Brother Brian go fight. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of fighting. Paul makes three statements in the verse that describes a good soldier. Notice, A, he is determined. The good soldiers do not retreat in the face of a battle. He don't just sit there and say, you know what, I'm standing for God, but when times get tough, he don't tuck tail and run. He don't say, hey, I done my part. I'm not doing no more. I'm out of here right now. No, this is too hard for me. Good soldier don't do that. He stands his ground. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. I know that Jesus Christ died for me. I know Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Hey, you might believe what you want to believe, but I know the only way to heaven is through the blood of Christ. I know I know John 14:6, for he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. You believe whatever you want, but I'm standing my ground. Don't get caught up and say, hey, you know what, they might be able to out-talk me. They might be able to convince me. No, stand your ground. You're going to be a good soldier. We gotta stand our ground. We can't tuck tail and ruin the other direction. So know that we're going to stand this ground, and we're going to be a fight. And, 1 Timothy 1:19, hold faith with God with good conscience, but put it not away. Hold the faith with good conscience, but put it not away. Keep the faith. He is driven. The good soldier realizes that the battle goes on, does not run according to his time frame. He knows that another is in charge of the duration of the battle, but the good soldier is driven to finish. The good soldier is in the battle to the finish. Or, let me ask you, he's in the battle to the finish. He ain't getting out early. He's going to be in God's time. God's time. When I surrendered, I love God's time. It taught me a lot, and we got a pastor that taught me a lot through that. When I surrendered the mission field, I wanted to go that fast. I wanted to go right then. I don't need to learn nothing else. I got the Bible. Let's go. God's called me there. The people dying. Let's go. We got our pastor sat and talked to me, and I wasn't waiting on God. I wasn't being still and knowing he was God. I was saying, hey, God, you called me there. Let's go right now. Our pastor sat there, and he said, Brian, you need to go to school. I said, school? What are you talking about, dude? I'm 33 years old at that time. I've been to school out there and saw them kids kicking the little balls around and on. That's going to be a distraction to me. I was putting things in my perspective. I'm thinking, I got a wife, I got kids, school. God didn't say, Brian, go to school. Brian, go to Bolivia. Go and give them the gospel. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, but then we got a man of God here, Brother Corey, sits there and he told me, he said, we got to learn. And then he started telling me about Paul and Timothy. And then he started telling me about how Jesus and his disciples spent 3 years studying from Jesus. And good Lord started convicting my heart, and I started realizing, hey, it was in God's time. It wasn't mine. And once I surrendered that it was God's time and not mine, things started happening that fast. So we're going to be a good soldier. We need to realize the battle is going to go on. But the victory is only going to be won in God's time. It ain't going to be in our time. We go out knocking doors, talking to people. Hey, we want to see people saved that day, but it's not in our time. We planted the seed. We planted the seed. We was a good soldier. We planted the seed. Now God's going to water. He's going to grow it up. Not us. We just need to be the soldiers that's got the footwork going out there and telling. To go and tell. So we need to realize it's not in our time. I struggled with that for a long time. Man, I gave them the word of God. Man, what in the world? Them jokers didn't listen to me. Most of the time they won't, but I planted the seed. Plant the seed. But number C, he is dedicated. The good soldier dedicates himself to keeping his oath. He is determined to live for the Lord regardless of his personal cost. The good soldier keeps the faith. Do you keep the faith? Hey, let me ask you, are you a good soldier tonight? Do you keep the faith? Do you try to think of things for your cause or for the cause of Christ? We need to know that we are dedicated to the one that sent us and nothing else. Dedicate your life to him. Do you keep the faith? He keeps it by living it, sharing it, and defending it at all times. We need to live by faith. We need to defend our faith. Defend on what you believe. And we need to share it at all times. All times. I sit there one day and witnessed to my grandfather at my mother's wedding. My mother told me it wasn't the right time. My grandfather was lost. Wasn't the right time. We need to be witnessing at all times. Not just sometimes. We don't need to sit there and say, hey, I need to talk to that person, but now's not the time. When's the time? Be a good soldier. Know that all times, all times, the devil, we know the enemy never stops. He's always attacking, always. You could be the last one to get to that person. You can be the last one to give them the word of God. Don't be dedicated. Don't lose the faith. Letter 5, he is a finisher. Letter A, he has resolve. The good soldier is in it for the long haul. He's in it for the long haul. He does not quit at the first hint of trouble. A lot of us nowadays, we see something in the way, most of us quit. Most of us quit. There's going to be a roadblock right there. There ain't no use of even wasting my time going down that rabbit trail, because something's going to happen right there. I see it happening right now. A bunch of us do that nowadays. Been there myself before. There's no sense of me even going down that way because I foresee trouble. Hey, that ain't a good soldier. That ain't a good soldier. When a good soldier would go into them communities in battle, they would sit there and they would see obstacles. They would see trouble. They would see, hey, some people are probably going to get hurt in this situation. Something might happen. They might blow us up. Same as a Christian soldier. When we're going forth, we're going to these communities. Yeah, something might happen. We might have somebody that might call us a couple choice names. They might sit there and say some harsh words to us or whatever. But keep the faith, keep pushing forward. Be a finisher. Don't be knocking the door and the neighbor pretty much says, don't come over here. Hey, give them the gospel. You might be the last one to give it to them. Be the finisher. Be the one that's going to resolve to finish the race. We need some who will stay by the staff in these days. We need some people that would just take hold in these days now and take hold and say, I'm giving the gospel. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to be like Paul and say, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm getting tongue-tied here. Servant, I want to finish the race. Let us see what B is. He has a reason. Why does a good soldier endure hardship? Stay in the fight. Follow the leader selfishly. The good soldier knows the price that was paid by the superior to make a place for him in the army. Why do we stay in the race? Why do we endure the hard time? Because we know the payment that was paid by our superior. We know what Jesus Christ done for us. We know that he died on that cross of Calvary for us. Let's give him the, let's sit there and that's our reasoning. That's our reasoning, knowing Jesus died for me. And then Jesus asked me to go and tell. So I'm going to go and tell. I'm going to tell them all. And let us, the good soldier knows that the price was paid, like I said, the superior. The good soldier knows his Lord loves him and that Jesus died to make a way of salvation for him. Therefore, he loves the Lord, and no price becomes too high for the good soldier to pay. Jesus Christ died. Anything better than that? Is there a better price? You was bought with a price. You was bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing better. And let us see, he has a reward. The good soldier finishes his course because he knows that at the end of the war, every deed will be rewarded by the commander-in-chief. For those who stay in the battle, there will come a glad day of blessing. They will hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Matthew 25, 21 and 33 both say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I long to hear them words one day. But what would you be wanting to hear? What are you waiting to hear when you meet Jesus? What are you going to hear when you meet Jesus? Are you going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant? I pray none of us in here is here depart from me, for I never knew you. I pray all of us were here, well done, my good and faithful servant. But if we're going to hear that, we need to be a good soldier for Christ. We need to know that we was a follower of Jesus Christ. We need to know we were faithful to his cause. We need to know we are familiar with his voice. We are familiar with the things that we can fight Satan. We're familiar with all this. We need to know we are a fighter. We're going to keep or stand on what we believe. We need to know we are a finisher. We need to know that we can finish what we started. We know we're going to sit there and finish what God's asked us to do, to go and tell. Would you classify yourself as a good soldier of the Lord? If you're like me, you probably recognize areas where you ain't that good of a soldier. If you sit and I sit there and I think, sometimes, Brother Brian, you let God down. But you know what? We serve a God of second chances. We serve a God of second chances. You let him out down this time. Hey, tomorrow, go back and the next day, go back and tell them. My daddy used to tell me that when I was in school. I was a different kind of fighter back in elementary school and junior high. And sometimes I would duck tail and run the opposite direction because I done got beat too bad. My daddy used to tell me, he said, son, my daddy was a good Christian guy, but he also believed in standing up for yourself. Son, go back and fight him again tomorrow. Stand him again tomorrow. Don't let them whip you. That's what my daddy used to tell me. I think it's the same way as a Christian. Go back tomorrow. Something gets you down today, go back tomorrow. Don't let it whip you. Don't let it whip you. Go, keep going back until you get it across to them. Keep going back. Don't give up. One day, God's going to sit there and give you the increase. God's going to give you the words to tell them. He's going to soften their heart. So I pray that we're all to be a finisher. If you never joined the army of the Lord, hey, there's someone here might say, hey, I've never really joined that army. I've never accepted him as my Savior. Tonight would be a great night for it. No, hey, well, none of us are promised tomorrow. Not a one of us in here. Amen. So tonight could be the last time you heard it. If you don't truly know, hey, I'm a soldier of God, we would love for you to join the army. We got an enlistment form. It's right here. We can tell you the word of God. We can tell you about the one that will send you. We can tell you about the one that died for you. We can tell you of your superior. So tonight, if you're sitting here and you don't know, tonight could be your night. When you pass from this scene, will it be said of you good that you're a good soldier of the Lord? It can be. Tonight, you can. In a moment, we have a time of invitation. We do a little bit different. We're not having a true Bible study tonight. We have invitation on Wednesday night. You come to this altar and say, God, I want to be a good soldier. Lord, I want to be a finisher. I want to be a fighter for God. I want to follow him. In a moment, we can have that time. Tonight could be the night. Can we stand with me when we pray? Then, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we got a God in heaven that loved us so much that he died on the cross of Calvary. Lord, just thank you. I thank you for the superior I have in Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray, Lord, I could be the soldier that you would have me be. Lord, I pray all of us would be the soldiers you would have us be. Lord, I just pray, Lord, you'd bless this word, Lord, that you might have convicted souls to be a better soldier for you, Lord. Lord, I know I need to be a better soldier for you. Lord, I just pray, Lord, you'd be with these kind people for being out, Lord. And in a moment, Lord, I just pray, Lord, if there's any here that knows you not, Lord, that they would come up here and join the army of God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey. We have time, buddy. Keep your eyes closed and head bowed just for a moment. If God's talking to you tonight and you say, hey, I'm not the best.